eight Koine Greek forms, and what I said earlier is that in the Koine there are no words, technically speaking. There are roots and there are forms. And one that is very dear to our calling is these three forms, en tois epiranios. En tois epiranios. Can you say that? En tois epiranios. And what does that mean? Well, it actually means in. That's a preposition. The. Twice is the is a plural definite article. In the upon heavens. In the upon the heavens. In the above heavens. And what's so important about that? Well, it's only used five times in scriptures. Only five. And the only five times it's used is in Ephesians. And they are Ephesians 1:3, 1:20, 2:6, 2:10, and 6:12. 1:3, 1:20, 2:6, 2:10, and 6:12. And they put forth a truth concerning our calling, which is the mystery. Not a mystery. We know the mystery that was hidden God from all generations and from all creation. I'll put that in there. We know a calling that was hidden God, and it has to do, one aspect of it has to do with en tois epiranios, in the fact that a human being through Christ can have a calling that's in the upon the heavens, where the Son of God is at the right hand of God. And furthermore, Ephesians 1 states that we are the fullness of the Son of God, who is the creator of all things. Now, I want to state that a lot of these words that I'm speaking are almost unspeakable. They're almost unspeakable because in the sense that we are the fullness of the Creator. That's what we are as the church, which is His body. So that some have said He cannot be complete in the heavenlies without every one of us. Now, your guts start going into a flutter, if I can use that, when you start realizing what God has done for us through His Son, as far as this calling is concerned. And this calling will be attacked. This calling, once it was given forth, immediately was attacked. And that's what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. Sound doctrine. Ephesians talks about every wind of doctrine. And what I'm going to put forth tomorrow, and maybe just a little hint of it right now, is that how can each of us know what every wind of doctrine is, if we don't know our sound doctrine? How can you know that? Paul says, don't be taken by every wind of doctrine. They're around. They're cunning and they're crafty. They're scripturally bent, so to say. The people that use sound doctrine, including the evil one, that's behind a lot of these, will bend scripture, will eliminate some scripture to make others seemingly true. But this calling that we are in is, other than denying the deity of Christ and His work, this calling is the bullseye target of the evil one today. There's no doubt about it. And it will be attacked. And it will be attacked with false doctrine. To stand for it might make you alone. It might bring sorrow. But if you look at the life of the Apostle Paul and many of those he dealt with, and then look at where he was at the end of his ministry, that shouldn't be surprising that that could happen to you. In the upon the heavens, let's read Ephesians 1:1-11. It states that Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, And to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the upon the heavens. Well, this term only used five times in all the scriptures, only in a post-Acts 28 epistle, only dealing with the church, which is the fullness of the Son of God. And we could say, well, what's so special about that? Because nowhere in the history of the scriptures was anything that was close to this mentioned, that this could be a place where a human being, through the work of Christ, after we resurrect and be manifested in him, that we could have a citizenship and a calling there. Nowhere else in scriptures. Part of our calling, none of it is found in the Old Testament. There's been some words rolling around that the mystery can be found in the Old Testament, and that is a downright lie. The mystery was hidden God just as much as we are hidden Christ in God. The mystery was never known until it was revealed through the Apostle Paul after Israel was set aside, and there was a reason for that. There was a reason for that. That after Israel as a nation was set aside in the work of God that ended therein for a period of time, he unfolded a glorious truth that was hid in him that had special meaning to the defeat of all of his enemies, especially the evil one. And in doing so, he could speak forth this message of truth and his working to principalities and powers that minister to him now that haven't fallen. And that is a fact. There are ministers, principalities and powers, mighty principalities that have not fallen, that have retained their estate. Amen. And the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is teaching that this calling through the Son of God is going to enable the church, which is his body, his fullness, to put forth the manifold wisdom of the Father to these unfallen, powerful, majestic principalities and powers. So, how can you describe that in words? That a human being, not only can we be resurrected in Christ, and not only is there a possibility that we can live in the kingdom of God on earth, or that human beings would be placed in this city that's going to be made of God, but that beyond the material universe, there's a calling in the Son of God, the risen Son, that was never even contemplated of. And this is our calling. And I would say to know that, I'm positive, takes an extreme amount of power. You know, we sit here and we have a stomach ache and heart problems, whatever you got. But I don't think we realize the extreme amount of power that it takes for us to know what we know in this place. Seriously. I'm thoroughly convinced of that. And I think that's what resurrection power is. Mm-hmm. You know, and will that be attacked? You bet it will be. You bet it will be. So, it further goes on to state that, well, I'll talk about this tomorrow, that we should not be entangled with the affairs of this life. And we should really understand what that means. I think that's in 2 Timothy 2. That the Lord doesn't want us to be entangled with the affairs of this life. And the reason why that is because it detracts from what he's given us in his Son. If we get too concentrated on the affairs of this life, the glorious message that we've been given and stand for will be chipped away at. It happens to me, so I know that. And twice Epiphanios. So we have our calling. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing. That's one thing. In the heavens, which are above all heavens, wherever that might be. Well, it's where the Son of God is. It's where he's seated, for sure. Where is Christ today? Is he on the cross, on that wooden cross? No. If you see a cross or a stake, it should be empty. That's the fact, is that he's not there. He's not the baby Jesus anymore. He's not the crucified cross hanging, Christ hanging there anymore. He's resurrected into the heavenlies, and we have a place in him. That's what should be said. Amen. All the time, everywhere, but it's not. That's what should be said in every one of these buildings, and they're not churches, they're just buildings. The Lutheran Church, the Catholic, they're not churches, they're buildings. The Catholic building, the Lutheran building, the Methodist building. You know, what's funny is that there's a sign outside of my town. It says, God has many houses in Boscobel. Really? God has many houses in Boscobel. Really? Which one's the right one? That sounds like Rome, by the way. That's what would happen in Rome, probably. You'd go in and you could go. What? Well, that's it, yeah, they're all part of the same. Yeah, well, that's another lie. The many ways to God, there is none. So we have a calling at the right hand of God in en tois Epiphanios, upon the heavens. That's our place of blessing. We have nothing to do with this planet. We have nothing to do with the new earth. We have nothing to do with the new Jerusalem at all. We have nothing to do with the so-called government of God on earth, or whatever that false teaching might be, whatsoever. The mystery is not the grace of God going out to the nation. The mystery of our calling is that we are seated in the Son of God, and we are going to put forth the manifold wisdom of God to heavenly principalities and powers. That is the mystery.
Amen.
You will be attacked for that. It's not going to be popular at all. Wasn't popular very quickly after it was spoken of by Paul. He had men fleeing from him, rejecting him for one reason or another. So I could go on with those references. And what the references of en tois Epiphanios, he'll take you to many places. One I want to look at is a controversial Ephesians 6:12. Now, let's look at it. That's the fifth occurrence of this Koine Greek phrase, en tois Epiphanios. And I'm just going to put forth a little bit of interesting discussion right now on this one. All right? It reads this way, Ephesians 6:10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Now, reading that in the English, you would think that Satan is in heavenly places. But that probably is not true. Possibly. That the Greek, in the Greek word order, can be like this. We say, we see the cat. In the Greek, it could be cat, see, we. It could be see, we, cat. It could be all different orders. Greek is put together by a suffix endings on forms. So what I'm saying is for you to consider is this. And see, our calling deals with many truths. It deals with the truth of the working of the evil one. It deals with the truth of the whole plan of God. All right, so when the evil one was cast out of the heavens, where was he cast? Or did he remain there? Okay, this is my point here. And you know, this is just some thinking. It's because in the English, In the English, you could read this, well, Satan must be in heavenly places. All right? But let's put it in the possible Greek rendering. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, or against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. So, in the Greek, it could be translated, we don't wrestle against Satan where our calling is. We wrestle against Satan where he was cast into. All right, now you could say, well, I don't agree with that. That's okay. That's okay if you don't agree with that, because I've wrestled with this for 20 years. Okay, where is Satan? Where was he cast into? Where is he bound to? Does he have access to the right hand of God? Okay, these are not, you know, like, I'm getting a lot of interesting looks like, you know, where's the hook on this guy? Where's the hook? That's okay. No, but these are very, very important questions. It's very important. Because our calling deals with the whole working of the God of the ages. It does. And in a sense, we are the capstone of it. Before he returns with Israel again, he brought forth this glorious, fantastic secret that was a capstone of his work in his Son. Everything points to the Son of God. But in all of this, Satan said, I will be like the Most High. And so, from the beginning, the Godhead has been working to put him down once and for all. That is always something we have to remember, that we are a part of that. His enemy, there are two great enemies, the evil one and death. Death is taken care of. The evil one, in a sense, is taken care of because he had the power of death. I can ask you the question, what is that? That's an interesting question. The scriptures say that Satan had the power of death. Really? What is it? Can you describe how he had that power? I mean, what does that mean? He can kill you at any time? Is that the power of death?
The power to keep us dead.
Power to keep us dead. Okay, how can he do that?
Thwart the resurrection.
Thwart the resurrection. Well, okay, that's possibly true. That's possibly true. One way... No, I mean, this is... What's great about this is that there is no... We are all sons of God. We are all mature people in the Lord. And that's why it's good. And we don't... I wanted to mention this. We don't come here for our spiritual shot in the arm or pit stop. No, we don't come, oh yeah, I go to Peru there, a conference there in June, and yeah, that's good enough, and you know, just like a Lutheran or something, and I made it to that one, and, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, and I or a Catholic, or I made it there, and everything's taken care of for me now, I'm blocked in by the Lord, no. We're here meeting in this awesome place or in a little room. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Our lives in the Lord are what really matter. We don't come here for a pit stop. We come here to learn, to glean, to get strengthened. I need to come here to get straight because I go out there and I lose who I am sometimes in the Lord. I get so beat up, bashed up, mixed around by the world and stuff like that I get scared of losing sight of who I am in the Lord. Maybe that's good. I come back here, I get together with like-minded people in the Lord, and man, I'm back again. That's what happens to me. So I come here for refreshment, and I come here personally to learn more about the Lord and our calling. And it's not something that makes me check in with the Lord. You know, we're checking in with the Lord every second of every day. Every day we live, we're checking in with the Lord. So I want to make a point of that. We don't come here for a pit stop. We come here to learn. Well, at any rate, in looking back at where Satan was cast down to, we have to think about what he was if he's contained at all. If he's contained at all. If he has access to the throne of God anymore. And this is something I'm throwing out. Because when you come to the conclusion of how far his access is, it will help you understand what Ephesians 6:12 means. You know, so do we wrestle with Satan at the dwelling place of God, at his right hand, or, as some of us believe, is Satan contained in the universe? Some of us believe that Satan is contained by a sheet of ice that is around the universe, that when the waters were separated, that the waters on the outside, and there's allusion to that in Joel, that there's water around the universe and it possibly could be ice. Look it up. You can say, this guy, he's whacked. It's okay. Yeah, that's okay. There's a lot of things we don't know. A lot of things about this planet we don't know. A lot of things going on here we have no clue about. Did you know that if the scriptures are true, that I'm standing in a place that had, 40,000 feet of water above me at one time? Or how many miles of water, possibly? The flood of Noah. Was the flood of Noah worldwide? If it was, then was it over the peaks of Everest? Over that high? 39,000 feet?
We didn't answer. Everest wasn't that high, maybe.
Okay.
Everest was just a high, maybe 1,000.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, somebody could debate that.
Yeah.
Somebody could debate that. Did Everest grow 38,000 feet in 4,300 years? I mean, okay. All right. At any rate, let's say it's 1,000. Let's say it's 1,000 feet. That means that everywhere I walk on this planet, there was 1,000 feet of water, at least. Maybe up to 6 miles, depending upon what's true or what's not. All right, so we really don't quite understand. You know, and then they find all these rock formations or something like that, and they awe over them. Well, if that was under tons of water, what does the ocean look like way down deep? Do you know? No. They find all these weird structures, weird animals, now that they can dive down there. Well, this whole earth was underwater at one time, moving, churning. How do we know? We don't know. We don't know many, many things. But some of us believe that Satan is contained in the universe at this present time, and that he does not have access to the throne of God, and that our war is with him here. And that once we're manifested in glory, our warring with him will be over. So that's just one point. And it's a controversial point. And so you could believe either way. For years I believed, oh no, I'm warring with Satan in heavenly, at the right hand of God in heavenly places, you know, because that's what it says. But the King James Version is not correct. It's a translation. But it's awesome. Can you learn of our calling through the King James translation? No doubt about it. I did, and I can say yes, I did. You know, but there's many places that because they were back in that time, because they were under the king, because they were ignorant of the mystery, they translated things a certain way. And here's another form that'll prove that. Here it is. Here it is. And I got to mention this because this.
Did you mention anything why it's called high places in Ephesians 4:5?
No. I don't know why. Mistranslation? I don't know. Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Back in the 1600s, our King James translators couldn't believe that
Adam. Oh, right.
It was a high government positions.
Oh, okay.
Satan messing up with their kings and rulers.
Oh, really? Okay. He's saying that, okay, all right, great. That probably is true. Right. I will say that that is the case with this next form. that has to do with, did we read Ephesians? We didn't even get done reading Ephesians 1 through 11. Well, at any rate, we won't do that. We'll go on. This next form, one that's very interesting. Hagios. Hagios. Can you say that? Hagios. Hagios. This is a rough breathing over the L or the A. Hagios. And certainly it means holy, pure, consecrated to God. Without this, you won't be able to stand in His presence. And it's translated, you'll find in Hebrews that there's two forms, hagios, hagion. And that has to do with the Holy of Holies. One problem in our calling, though, is that in Ephesians 1, 8 to verse 18, that it was mistranslated. Because in the King James Version, the translators use hagios, hagion, interchangeable with the word saints. So, in their mind, they translated it holy, holy places, holy of holies, but they also translated it saints. And I think they made a huge mistake in Ephesians 1, 18. And we'll read that. Read verse 16 of Ephesians 1. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Hey, do you know what? Do you know how you come to know the mystery? It's through revelation of the Almighty God. It can't be taught by men. It can't be shoved down your throat. It can't be battered into your brain. You are chosen, a chosen son of God in Him. It's real and it's taught. You were revealed this by Almighty God because He chose you. And it goes on with the thought, why did He choose me? And the fact of it is that, hello, the fact of it is that the principle of God is that He doesn't choose emperors, and He doesn't choose presidents, and He doesn't choose generals for the most part. Think about it. He chooses the lowly, the abased, which means no, we have no, we are not our what? Our family line, we have none. Pedigree. People without pedigree. Weak people to the world. To confound the mighty. Now, that is a fact that should make you weep your eyes out. And luckily, sometimes it does that for me. Because that's who I am in the world. And do I know a lot of powerful people? No. I know some pretty smart people that they love themselves because of their smartness. And I can see how the Lord works in this. Now, He reached down and He gave you this calling like He did Israel. Why did you choose us? They said. And God said, did I choose you because you were the greatest? No. Did I choose you because you were the mightiest? No. Did I choose you because you were the most? No. He chose them because they were the weakest and the least to confound the mighty. And He did so in the flesh in front of Pharaoh, who happened to be God on earth. Quote. Pharaoh was God on earth. Quote. Moses could have been God on earth. Quote. And that's what he turned on. Moses is an awesome, awesome person. Awesome person. But God, like Israel, chose you and I, reached down, and He loves us so much. He does.
Yeah. He really does. In that 118, that Hagios had probably been better translated to the saints, holy places.
The holy places, yeah, the holies. Even as far as the Holy of Holies. I believe. Meaning this, if we look back, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened in verse 18, that ye might know the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the Holy of Holies. Because in fact, that's where en tois ephoron eois is. And this is all in a context. It's in a context. Our calling as Ephesians unfold and Colossians and the Timothys and Philippians unfold is in a context. So I think that the King James people were afraid to put your calling and inheritance with the Holy of Holies. Just as this gentleman said, they were afraid to say that we have a calling in the heavenlies. They were afraid of that because they were ignorant of it. Makes sense, you know. And if they would have put that, they might have been axed by the king. You know, and you'd say, well, why did God allow that? Because he did. That's interesting, right?
Same reason he allowed the word Easter.
Oh, okay.
To be used in Acts chapter 12, I believe it's verse.
Yeah, 5. Easter. The word Easter is
should
in Acts.
Should never, ever yeah. have been in the translation.
What's that doing there? The worship of the egg? That's fertility, a fertility rite with the bunny and the egg. That's what that is. It's a pagan.
Astarte.
The bunny and the egg is a worship of fertility.
The Greek goddess Astarte, yeah.
Yeah. That's what it is. And we all, and the little girls with their dresses, you know, I have two sisters, and oh, they're cute, and the funny thing, and it's cute, and it's nice, and it's dead. You know, a lot of people are walking corpses, walking around, smiling, nice, everything's nice. Don't know anything about the Lord, don't want to. Okay? But you're different. Okay? So, do you want to keep on going? Okay, a few more minutes. I've got 6 more forms to go through that are all beautiful like this. They are because they deal with the calling that God has richly blessed us with. Really. And it's overflowing. What I do want to say to you is that when you read about the Father's will concerning you, you'll find that he's pouring it out. He's pouring it out. Do I feel like he is? In this flesh, a lot of times, no. But like Abraham, the scriptures talk about the recompense of the reward, right? What does it say? He had honor, or he had, he honored the recompense of the reward. I hope I have him in the proper place. That Abraham, by faith, trusted God because he knew who the Lord was, and even though he never saw his hope while he was on earth, he knew he could trust in the one that could raise his son from the dead, that he had it. And for some reason, the Lord wants that out of us. Okay, for some reason, if you think about God, like I sit back and I try to think about God logically, what are you doing? And my wife says, who are you to say anything? I don't know. I'm sorry. You know, but here I am. And until the Lord takes me out of here, I'll say, hey, Lord, what are you doing? Why are you doing this way? I know this about you. Thank you very much. It's awesome. You know, but then my mind thinks, well, why does he do things the way he does? Is that wrong? No, not at all. Not at all. We're his sons. I think we should know something about him. How he works, how he is, how he loves, why he loves, why he's doing what he's doing. So, in Ephesians 1:4, it goes on. We're going to look at this. According, he's given us every spiritual blessing that is possible. That's what the Greek means. All blessings, everyone. What's a spiritual blessing? I have no total clue of what that is. But I do know that the scriptures speak forth and say that we have every one he's got to give. So I'm going to say this to you. I know I don't have the time. But the Father here is, if you're a father and you have a son or a daughter, it's like you have the storehouse and you're going to pile it. You're going to pile it up. And you're going to sit back. And you're going to love every second of doing that. And that's what the Father is doing with us in His Son. That's what the Scriptures teach about our calling. He has joy in it. He smiles in it. That's what the scriptures teach. You know, even though, you know, you might have arthritis in your joints, ache, oh my back, you know, it has nothing to do with that. You know, it has nothing to do with those things. You're walking through this life that gave you the opportunity to be placed in heavenly places. You know, and where I just, as a glorious saint had just died, Betty Sharp, you know, it's just like, bang, I knew her. I was having a great time. She's gone. So many people, man, I was around having a great time. They're not here anymore. Oh, I was working on that guy, that lady the other day. They're gone. My sister's 42-year-old, has a son. She's gone. Cancer. Just like shocking. I know many people that are here, gone. We're going to be here, gone. No matter how you feel, how healthy you think you are, you're going to be here. They're going to be talking about you tomorrow. Here, gone. You know, and even though it doesn't feel like, even though you don't want to believe that, even though you don't want to, oh, no, it ain't going to happen to me. Oh, yeah, it is. I don't believe it. You know, in myself. Oh, I'll get around that some. Yeah, but no, I won't. Because I start, I'm 56 almost, and I'm starting to feel stuff. I'm starting to feel stuff I don't like, you know. So, yeah, you bet. So it's like, is this happening to me? No, that can't be happening. What's the doctor that can take care of this? Look, dial them up now, you know. Oh, there is none. What? You know, like that. That's what I'm starting to do. What? No, no, this can't be. This isn't happening in my mind, you know. But ex alexatro. Say it. Pronounce it. Ex alexatro. The root word is ek lego. And it has to do with our choosing. So not only has he chosen us and given us every spiritual blessing in his son, but this has to do with his choosing. And this ex alexatro basically means we have here, it's according to his good pleasure of his will, the wealth of his grace. Think of the Father, the Father of lights, the Father of the universe, and what he's doing for you in his son, according to his good pleasure, the wealth of his grace, the good pleasure of him, which he purposed in himself after the counsel of his own will. So you think of this one. You think of this one over here, and he's pouring out these massive gifts on you, and he's doing it because he takes pleasure in it. Because he wills it to be done, and he loves it. Okay, now this is what the scriptures talk about our Heavenly Father being like through His Son. This is what we have to look forward to in a very brief passing of time. My mind that says, well, what am I still doing here for then? You know, that's the way my mind is. What? I have all this and I'm still in this? Well, come on. What am I doing in this? I call it a toilet sometimes. I'm sorry. What am I doing in this earthly toilet then? Well, there's a reason why that is. And the Lord wants to build a trust in me. He wants me to make me mature in Him. He wants me to say things, but He wants me to be it too. Oh yeah, I'm Son of God, and I stand for this, do you? Okay, well, let's see. He wants to prove us. Oh, that's bad. That's nasty. Father, what are you doing that to me for? That's what I say. What do you have to prove me for? Why? That doesn't sound too good. Well, that's what he wants to do. And he's doing it. He's going to prove you. Okay, this ex alexatro, our choosing, it's a choosing for himself. That's what the Koine Greek mean. It's choosing out of the ranks of believers to be particularly his own and to be ones that he attends to continuously through his gracious oversight. Importantly is this, is that all of these things are provided to us and for us only through His Son. That's the point. We have all of these unfolding things and blessings, but it's Christ our head and Him alone through which we have any of this whatsoever. So he's the head, but through this head, the Father pours out his pleasure. That's what's happening. And I can realize that. Well, do I realize that abundantly in this flesh? No. I can't. We are limited. We are limited here. Why are we limited? Because we are limited because of sin, the outworking of sin. We're limited because we're human beings, and we're progeny of Adam. We can't escape it. We're born of the woman. We can't escape it. But on the other hand, like we've mentioned, without it, without this life, we can have nothing through the Son, because he became flesh like us, but without sin. So we have to endure this sentence in the flesh, whatever that might be for you. Now, do you want me to go on?
You got 1 hour before our meeting.
Okay. What?
You got 1 hour before our
meeting. 1 hour before our meeting. Okay, I can. I might not get to all of this, but yeah. Well, I'll go on for another 15 minutes, okay, or so. I won't get to all of these, but we'll get to a couple more. All right. Okay then. Yeah. Thanks. Sure, Mike. Okay. Yep. How about this one?
Oh.
What form are we looking at? We're looking at Mustadion. Can you say it? Mustadion. It's Mustadion. Mustadion, where the accent is on the Ada. Mustadion. Now, this is really important to us, right? Okay. Amen. It's a truth of God concealed and revealed at the same time. Really. Some people say that mystery is a wrong translation of the form mysterion, which, okay, you know, that could be true. You know, but our calling was hidden God until revealed. So is it a mystery anymore? No, but yes. Because if it isn't revealed to you, as the Apostle Paul prays that through the wisdom and revelation, it might be revealed to you the knowledge of him concerning your calling, which we just read, which is in the holies, in heavenly places, without the revealing of that to you, it is a mystery. It is mysterion truth in the sense that you don't know it because it wasn't revealed to you. And there are many, many, many thousands of human beings that don't know the revealed sacred secret, if I want to put it that way. Many don't know. And there's reasons of the Lord why they don't. There's reasons of the Lord why they don't know it. I believe that for some reason, the people that are sitting here and standing here today, there's something about us that the Lord saw before we were even here. There is something about the character of us that he saw I'm serious, really serious about such things. That he saw within us the tenacity to be able to accept this truth and to stand for it. The tenacity, the faith of it. Well, you look at the Apostle Paul, I'll be talking about this tomorrow. He had the tenacity, didn't he? He had the tenacity, the stick with it, the endure hardness character to the end. And many around him did not. Many around him did not. And I believe that wherever we come from in this room, our various lives, that if you know this truth, it was revealed to you because before the foundation or before the overthrow of the world, which could be reached back even before anybody or thing was created, which could very possibly be true, that he knew about you Sir, he knew about this calling, and he knew about your character, your heart, and your tenacity, no matter what. Because we can walk out at any time. We can deny this at any time. Walk away from it at any time. Treat it lightly at any time. Forsake it at any time. But that's why the Lord has us stick close to it, because our human flesh can be detoured easily. Our minds, that's the war ground, your mind, the warring in your mind. He can take your mind, and the evil one can work on your mind and your flesh, and he can bend your mind over to places where the concentration on your calling and your blessing is over somewhere else. He does it with me. And then you wonder, where did I go and who am I right now? But the Lord brings you back. And so this mystery was revealed to you. And if you look back at your life and the way he did it, it's ingenious. No matter what, Bullinger preached something for 40 years, thought he was preaching something correctly, and the Lord showed him, I believe I have that right, the church which is the mysterion truth concerning the church which is Christ's body, and he had to say, why did you take me such a way? But that's the Lord's way. Sometimes the way is painful. Betty Sharp, who just died, she said that it can be almost like very strange how the Lord weaves in your life through circumstance, and the next thing you know, wham, oh, he's giving you this truth, and you see it in glory, in a sense, and it bowls you over like a ton of bricks, and you know that it's true. And he weaves this with every one of us is different. Every one of us is different. I have the problem of tending to compare myself. Where did this guy over here? He didn't go through this or that. To know this, what makes him so special? Well, the Lord dealt with apostles like me. You don't concentrate on him. You stick your nose to your own. Didn't he say that to one of the apostles that was complaining about Peter? If it was Peter, he said, you stick to your what I'm working with you. Don't worry about your brother over there. And so that's my lesson. But he takes us and weaves us that way in our own personal. Let's look at some other mysteries, all right? Real quick here. And then I suppose we can end with that. We'll end with mysterion truth. And other mysteries. Are there other mysteries in the scriptures? Yes. Are there other secrets of God talked about in the mystery? Yes. Is the mystery at the end of Romans talking about the mystery of the church, which is Christ's body? No. Why is that? Okay, well, let's look at that one. Okay, that's been since, and let's look at it. Let's look at it, Roger. What's the page number? Okay, 1694. Okay, yeah, 1694, in honor of Cecil McCurry, if you have the correct scriptures. Yeah, okay. Now, for years, many people thought that the mystery at the end of Romans was talking about the mystery concerning the church, which is Christ's body, and that is not true. And there's a reason why that is. Let's read it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That's in verse 24. Now in him that is of power to establish or stabilize you according to my gospel, or good message, that's what a gospel is. Another working of the evil one, in a sense. The gospel. Well, we believe the gospel. Which one? There's many gospels. Gospel means good message. And what mankind did, with the help of someone, they said, the gospel is what's contained in the Gospels. We believe in gospel truth. Really, which one? If you're a good student of the Word of God, which one are you talking about? What? I'm talking about the gospel. Which one? What's wrong with you? Right? But it's like people enjoy ignorance. They do. You know why that is? It's because they enjoy their flesh. And I'm going to say this, that doctrines, false doctrines, appeal to the flesh. If you're running across a false doctrine, somehow, I'm saying this from Mike, somehow it may appeal to the flesh. Because our calling is to put this off. Our calling is to seek the right hand of God. Our calling is apart from this place. Our calling is to put to death the working of this flesh. Alright? It is. And to some people, they don't want to do that. That's impossible. They love their lives here. They love themselves. You know. And so it goes on to say in Romans 16, but now, verse 25, now to him that is apart, establish you according to my gospel, or good message, preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, and there's a reason, not before, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. So the mystery of Christ is found in the prophets. And we're talking about the mystery of Christ here, because this is at the end of Romans, which was probably the last book written in the Acts period. And grace was given through Christ towards Israel, and with Gentiles grafted in. Grace was found there. The grace through the righteousness of Christ through his death. Romans talks about being justified by the faith of the work of Christ. Is that the mystery of the body? No. Is that a mystery? Yes. Another one. Matthew 13. Now, the Lord, this is interesting. This is interesting, real interesting. You could say, well, was the Lord a discriminatory God? Yes. Yes, he is.
Why? Because he could.
Why? Because he's God.
That's right.
He did choose.
That's right. Why? Because he can and he's God. That's right. He can choose. And I believe, though, he gives all the reins of chance. Israel was given great latitude, until they basically perverted the law, and they rejected God himself in the flesh because they loved themselves. They made up their own laws. They extracted a lot of nice silver and gold from the public, the hierarchy, and they were living good. They didn't want anybody to upset that apple cart. So they were far away, even, I believe, from the law of God when the Lord stepped in the fullness of times. And that's why they hated him. That's one of the reasons why they hated him. Well, it goes in Matthew 13, we're almost done here, 9 through 17. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. We have ears to hear, by the way. And the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So you could say, well, that sounds kind of discriminatory. What's with that? Well, you'll have to go into a little bit of study of that, why that might be, but it was true. For whosoever has, to him shall it be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him it shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and they hearing, hear not, neither do they understand. And this is the second quotation, well, it's the second major quotation of Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. I think there were seven in all. But it says, quoted by the Lord, in them is the fulfillment of the prophecy Isaiah, which says, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive, for the peoples, this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. This is where Israel rejected the Son of God. At the end of Acts, it's quoted by the Apostle Paul again, where they reject the Godhead in totality. The Holy Spirit at the end of Acts and his work is rejected. So they rejected the Father through the prophets. They rejected the Son. They rejected the work of the Holy Spirit. The latitude of God was fully given. He wrapped them up, and it was ended for that time. Makes sense. It's beautiful truth. And then after that comes our calling. 1 Timothy 3:16. Another mystery. We're almost done. 1 Timothy 3:16. You know, and if you think about this, sometimes it really takes me back to think about what God has done for us. Because if you know anything about the world, life, I'll say it again, chemistry, molecular structure, or atomic structure, botany, astronomy, electricity, engineering, the human body, surgery, dentistry, childbirth, sight, living, breathing, lungs, the one who created it all was here. And you're like, that can't be. But the scriptures say that it was true.
Amen.
And he was here, and he all of the, it says that Christ has the power of all, of everything. And so we just don't realize it. That's that we're ignorant. Every day we walk, we're ignorant. We exist by his power. We move. For me to just do this is a miracle. It is, with the mind and the hormones and all the things it takes for me just to stand here, talk, breathe. It's miraculous. He is the power that holds that together, amongst other things. And he came here for you and I. So it goes on in 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. You're kidding. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Again. That's incredible. But it's true. Last one. Oh, well, almost. 1 Corinthians 2, 4th rate. We're almost done. I said that 15 minutes ago. You know, but this is the beauty of the Koine. And your calling consists of Koine Greek that is phenomenal. Not that the Koine of other scriptures isn't, but your calling, my calling, is unspeakable. If sometimes I think you have to step back, and if you realize what you've been given in the Son at the right hand of the Father, and that it is real, and that it isn't a joke, it isn't a fairy tale, it isn't religious jargon. As far as our minds can understand it, it's unspeakable.
Amen.
Especially when compared with other scriptures and callings of other human beings. And that's why it was hidden, God. It was for a purpose dealing with spiritual beings, and it's going to be attacked because it is so rich. That's why. So, 1 Corinthians 2, 4-8. Awesome. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not have crucified the Lord, O Lord of glory. If they would have had a wisdom that we understand through the Holy Spirit, they would have saw the Son of God for who He was as Creator, and they would have no thought of even touching Him whatsoever, is what that scripture basically says. But He was there. Some of them thought, if you can believe this, that He was the carpenter's son. And some of them knew that, as John said, the epistles of John, the Word of God was with us, and we saw Him, and we touched Him.
Amen.
As of the Word of God. Imagine that. Here is the Word of God that was with the Father. We see Him, we touch Him, we know Him, and then some think He's a carpenter's son. And I think that that's the way we are, too, in a sense. That the world doesn't know us for who we are, like they didn't know Him. Ephesians 3, and then we'll end. Finally, man, this guy's giving me a headache. No, not really, but there's just awesome, awesome things. Awesome power to live on. All right. Ephesians 3, 7 through 10. Having to do with mustadion. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power unto me, who am the less of the least of all saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable or the untraceable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the dispensation of the mysterion, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers that haven't fallen, in heavenly places, in the en tois epheranios, might be known by the church or through us, the manifold wisdom of God. And that is one reason for your calling. That is one reason for your hope, is because He's going to be working His wisdom and is working through His wisdom through us to heavenly principalities and powers that have nothing to do with the streets of gold, that have nothing to do with the new earth, that have nothing to do with the millennial kingdom at all. And that is why our calling will be attacked. And there will be false doctrines. And there were false doctrines back in A.D. 70. And now we're in 2000. What? 11? Have things changed at all? No. Has Satan changed? No. Has the world changed? Not really. Still the same. Has the truth of God changed? No. I would mention that this one attack on this came at a conference somewhere from this person. This person said, oh, the mystery is old-fashioned. Old-fashioned. Well, is Jesus Christ old-fashioned? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, attacks will come in really bizarre from bizarre. How can the mystery be old-fashioned? Just because it was 2,000, 1,900 years ago? So what? You know, so, at any rate, thanks very much, and we'll be looking forward to the conference. Yeah. Okay. Hello, everybody. We have...